good afternoon or for good evening. This is the Ralph Winter Road Show with Ralph Kermit Winter Road II from the land of the far north, truth seeker of the far north. I think we're going to talk probably today about some astounding information that I have since been able to document. And it's concerning the fraud of the Internal Revenue Service. That's one of my favorite subjects. And it's just absolutely astounding. I mean, it's just there is no doubt that we've got acts of treason that have been committed in our country, are continually being committed by people. And as I've talked before, people have listened to the show, it's the root of the poisonous tree is this fictitious citizenship called a citizen of the United States. And until the people wake up, and I'm not sure what it takes to get people to fight anymore. I don't know. I mean, I've conclusively tracked down that your, quote, motor vehicles, when you register them, you become a debtor, and the state becomes a secured party, so you just signed it over to the – you signed your property away. And it's every one of the state statutes. It's right there. It's under the secured party stuff. And if somebody's listening, by the way, I have three email lists, and I also have one that I'm going to be putting out some attachments on concerning what I'm talking about today, so you don't have to go look it up with a brief explanation. For it's a donation of $120. And also I should mention that if anybody is, if you like this type of show, Republic Broadcasting needs people to donate to keep this thing on the air, because it's not, nothing's free in this world. If it's free, don't believe it. Liberty is not free. And anyway, with that said, I said, well, what does it take? I mean, with this fictitious citizenship, which I'm going to go back to and back it up with documents, what does it take to get people to fight? Because once you abandon your birthright and your inalienable rights, because this thing called a citizen of the United States, that's one of the most interesting questions to ask any congressman and senator. Where or does a citizen of the United States, in parentheses, lowercase c, have inalienable rights? Yes or no? And, of course, the next question is, if they say yes, is, well, where is it? Because they don't. They just made it up. But, oh, it sounds so deliciously correct, and we don't understand, and we have literally hundreds of millions of people have signed up under the penalties of perjury to be a citizen of the United States, and they are clueless to what it means. Absolutely clueless. But what does it take to get people to fight? With this status, the state then has an interest in your children, so they can come and kidnap your children at will to feed their try to sate some of these people that are pedophiles, to make everybody money because they all have contracts behind the scenes, to deny you a trial by jury. You know that there's no trial by jury according to anywhere that I found yet on any of the child custody stuff. They can take your children away and no trial by jury. Now, you can get in a disagreement over a horse, over land, and have a trial by jury. And children are below that. They're not even allowed to have that. Of course, they couldn't have a trial by jury, because if they did and they had to have real facts to which 12 people could listen to, it would shut down the kidnapping that's going on in America. Well, I hear some background here, so stay tuned. You're going to hear some astounding.
In Matthew 24, the disciples asked Jesus, "What shall be the signs of thy coming and the end of the world?" Jesus answered them, You shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines, diseases, earthquakes in many places. Fellow Americans, we are living in this time of Earth's history. People everywhere are trying to understand these climatic world events in light of human wisdom, but without the wisdom of God, this is impossible. Our ministry would like to offer information on the Mark of the Beast and the Unholy Alliance. It includes four books and several DVDs for your information. It discusses America in prophecy, the Antichrist, tyrants and wars, secret societies, the New World Order, and much more. So to be prepared for what is coming on the world as an overwhelming surprise, call for your free materials, Packet F, 888-211-1715. Again, 888-211-1715.
Since 1988, Herbal Healer Academy has been the global supplier of the finest natural medicines. We specialize in keeping you alive and healthy. We provide outstanding products like ECX, colloidal silver, olive leaf extract, oregano oil, and hundreds of herbals, oils, books, and educational materials. We have homeopathic detox solutions for chemtrails, radiation, MSG, and aspartame poisoning. We also train naturopathic healers via correspondence education. Why wait any longer? Go ahead and do it today. Sign up on the web and receive our new 120-page catalog and a current Herbal Healer newsletter free. Simply log on to herbalhealer.com and check out the online member testimonials and our hundreds of exceptional products. That's herbalhealer.com, your website for safe, effective, natural alternatives and education. That's herbalhealer.com.
Hi, Steve Shank, Fearless Task Force. Sure, you've got a mortgage and credit cards. Your debt creation is probably the smartest thing you've ever done. How would it be to find $75,000, $150,000, $200,000 or more you never knew you had? Now the task force has strategies to make these debts into virtual savings accounts. Ben Franklin said, a penny saved is a penny earned. By doing nothing more than you're doing right now, because you've used your credit, the right strategies can make the debt part of your financial life the smartest thing you've ever done. Oh, by the way, your strategies cost you nothing out of pocket. Go ahead and check out the debt elimination scams if you'd like to. You wouldn't take money from a loan shark, so you may not want to give your money to a debt shark. For an understanding of what a financial genius you truly are, call 800-409-5633. On the web, mydebtfreepath.com. 800-409-5633.
Back from break, and I'm going to inject just a comment here about this Paris Hilton situation. It's absolutely astounding what's going on. Of course, we know what money does in this world. I mean, it buys people freedom, it buys people, and amazingly, most of these politicians and people, it's amazing what they all sell out for. We've got some under indictment in Alaska that have sold out for a nominal amount of money. Ben Stevens was in the hundreds of thousands of dollars, but we had some that were under the $10,000-$15,000 bracket or $20,000 bracket. It's amazing what people will do. Of course, they're not guilty yet. I mean, they're innocent until proven guilty, but it seems pretty obvious with the Vico president pleading guilty and naming these people and what the object was, that there's a probably good chance they're going to be indicted. But what is the real underlying issue that the sheriff did in Paris Hilton that is unconstitutional? This first hit the courts back in 1792. And what it is, it's called the separation of powers. And what it gets down to is what the sheriff violated the law is he has zero authority to act as a court of heirs over a judicial decision. Now, of course, in reality, we know those courts aren't really the true judicial courts, but let's just, for this, we have to presume something. We have to get a standard someplace. So we presume that they are. So the judge is acting within his power, judicial power, of the state of California. So if that premise is true, who has authority to change his judgment? Only within the, quote, judicial system or by a pardon from the governor. That's it. And so what happened here, which is the same problem we have with the IRS, the sheriff, which is supposed to be in the executive side for the enforcement of laws, actually he's supposed to be a peace officer, and he's the chief executive and administrative officer of the people. Actually, he's the highest level of authority we have. They don't exercise it because they're bought and paid for, or ignorant, or some combination thereof. He, on his own motion, decided to act as a court of errors over a judicial determination. And this is the same issue in Hebron in 1792. It was all done for the best reasons. That's what's amazing, is there's a lot of things that are done for the sound quite reasonable until you understand what the real issues are, or the problems that you run into with these type of things. And in the Hebron's case, in 1792, and it's been held ever since then, in the Fiera, Muskrat, Vallejo Supreme Court cases, that nobody in the executive side of any sort, agency or otherwise, even though agencies have no power, period, can act as a court of errors over the judicial side. And this is what happened in today's case, because back in 1792, they had the Widows and Orphans Act, because they were wanting to take care of the widows and orphans for the prior issues that they dealt with in the war, which is a very honorable thing. But what was missing is they had no authority, because they wanted the courts to rule on who was eligible and not eligible. And then once the court issue under judicial power would make that decision, it would go back over to the Secretary of the War, which was on the executive side, and the Secretary of War could say, no, I'm not doing this. Now, isn't that just absolutely astounding? And that's the issue that we have in that particular case today, and I've not kept up with it. I'm going to up today here to look and see, but I'll bet you have not heard that anywhere in the news. A very simple, brief constitutional analysis. The sheriff exceeded his authority because he cannot, under any circumstance, overrule a judicial decision. He can't do it. They're supposed to go to court. He changed the judgment of a court. And, of course, he should be charged with, I'm going to look it up here in a minute, but either with malfeasance or nonfeasance. Because he does not have the authority to do these things, and he exceeded his authority. Now, I don't know if they're going to find him, if they're going to follow up with it. They probably won't. They'll probably wiffle-waffle around amongst themselves, but he should be charged and actually taken out of office. And it's malfeasance. It's doing an act of which is totally wrong and unlawful. And he did not have the right or authority to do it. And guess what? He doesn't have the authority to do it. So that's the real short story of that particular issue. And how does that have application today with some of these logic, once you start to see it, are so simplistic. How does the IRS get away with this? Because the IRS, if you go with the Cheek case, there's supposed to be a law definite and known. There's supposed to be the legal duty is created by the law. You can't have a legal duty then too without two parties. There's got to be two parties to have a legal duty. If you're supposed to mow somebody's lawn, there's got to be the party that's going to do the mowing, and there's got to be the person that says, it's my lawn, and you got to mow it. Either by contract, almost always exclusively legal duties in a constitutional republic are established by contract. But, of course, Congress, which ties into the root of the poisonous tree here, our citizens of the United States, can create obligations on individuals. Of course, an individual is a taxpayer. Well, then the obvious question is, can the Article III court, which we're going to get to eventually here in these 2 hours, how they had to change and sneak in something that they did not have the power to do, and it's under the term of federal question, how did they achieve this? Well, in Title 28, United States Code 2201, the courts, the United States District Courts, those administrative, actually they're admiralty and equity courts, in reality there's no at-law left in those courts, they are prohibited from making a determination of issues concerning IRS or concerning federal taxation, including and not limited to who is a taxpayer. So we have exactly the same sequence or situation, because if the courts are prohibited from making that determination, then the most obvious question is, how can you have a legal duty between two parties if one of them doesn't have any personal jurisdiction? They don't have personal jurisdiction over them, over this person called a, quote, taxpayer. The law does not impose, you can't have possibilities in the law. They can't even deal with who a taxpayer is, because the taxpayer is sitting over in the IRS side of who the determination of a taxpayer is. It's absolutely astounding, and it's such a simple concept. But the determination of who a taxpayer is posited sitting over in 26 CFR 601.201. And there's no getting around it. And it's under the statutory authority and will of Congress, 5 U.S.C. 301 and 552. Congress has said, hey, taxpayers over here, do you see these attorneys deal with this? No. Do people understand it? Of course not. We're not taught these things. It's such a simple concept. No entity can act as a court of errors over a court that's exercising the judicial power of the United States under the authority of the United States. Cannot be done in the executive and overruled. Otherwise, we have no separation of powers. And Habern said those people that are sitting in that court that do that are mere commissioners. And it's not within the scope of their, quote, office. And I'm going to be talking about that probably next week. That's one of the most misunderstood and tremendously important issues, is the word office, O-F-F-I-C-E. By what authority are you authorized and empowered over my life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness? But this is exactly the same thing in Paris Hilton's case. A sheriff exceeded his authority because he cannot act as a court of errors. The same problem with the IRS. Because the courts under 2201 of Title 28 are prohibited from making a determination of who a taxpayer is. Well, you can't have a legal duty if you don't have a taxpayer, folks. Duh. And it's conclusively setting in Title 26, 601.201 in the CFRs. And it's under the statutory authority of Congress. And Congress has ruled, like in Chrysler v. Brown, in other cases, if the statutory authority is there, well, we have to obey Congress. It's a public record. Hoo-ha. Wouldn't want to disobey Congress, would we? Those people, that den of vipers up there? They've set up a very interesting statutory scheme, but if you understand their statutory theme, their scheme, they haven't got the power to do this. IRS, it's because people, we have this presumption that when we see the policeman show up, that he has an office. He has no powers and duties. He has no vote of office to an office. Now, I don't know about the sheriff over there. I don't know if his office is ever created in California or not. Probably not. But I'm sure that he issues stuff under agency. Well, then the obvious question is, who is he an agent of? You can't be an agent unless there's two people again. But the Paris Hilton is an exact problem with the IRS. Exact same problem. The courts can't deal with it. Now, and of course, in this one, he exceeded the authority. And of course, the other one is that the authority is sitting in the sheriff's department, which is actually sitting in the IRS's
Have you heard of a privacy crisis? Odds are you're already immersed in one. The U.S. government is now legally tapping phones, monitoring emails, tracking purchases, and seizing property in record numbers. Banks are demanding invasive personal information for even the smallest transaction. Unfortunately, stalkers looking to harm you or your financial situation are using the same methods. So how can you protect yourself, your loved ones, and all that you own? Well, the first step is to purchase the most important how-to book you'll ever read. It's called Privacy Crisis by author Grant Hall. In minutes, you'll know the methods he himself has used and advised others about in order to bank anonymously, open a safety deposit box without a social security number. With Privacy Crisis, you'll discover how to avoid judgments, seal your credit files airtight, drop off the radar, and virtually disappear from those looking to cause you injury. The ebook and hardcover versions are available at www.privacycrisis.com. Grant Hall's Privacy Crisis contains information and legal methods the powers that be don't want you to know. Travel, bank, work, and live anonymously, live free. You can also order Privacy Crisis by telephone. Call 702-433-6222.
Businesses and their employees are facing constant increases in group medical insurance premiums. Employees are shouldering more of the burden themselves. Core Documents, the nation's primary source for affordable medical plan documents, has the answer. A health reimbursement arrangement, or HRA. Business owners, managers, find out now how your company can utilize a much higher deductible health insurance policy and establish an HRA to fund low deductibles for your employees. And employees, tell the boss to visit coredocuments.com now. This new HRA plan can save you thousands of dollars.
Employers all over the country are discovering how to roll back insurance costs using Core Documents' HRA concept. Core Documents is the nation's primary source for affordable plan documents required by the IRS and Department of Labor for Section 125 and HRA plans. Use your insurance agent and let Core Documents help you with plan design. Do a Google search for Core Documents or see us at coredocuments.com. That's Core, C-O-R-E. Documents, plural.com.
Wow, that coffee smells really good.
Hey, it's terrific, and it's healthy.
Healthy coffee. How does it taste?
Well, since healthy coffee blends are pre-brewed from organic Arabica beans, they're delicious.
Gosh, I had no idea coffee could be healthy.
Yeah, this coffee boosts your immunity, has 165 antioxidants for all kinds of health benefits. Plus, it gives you energy without a lot of caffeine. And since you're a big coffee drinker, I thought, well, maybe you'd want to know about it.
It sounds great, but how much does it cost?
Well, not much at all, really. A whole lot less than we've been paying for ordinary coffee at the coffee shop.
Wow, I'd love to try it, and I bet everyone at the office would, too. Where do I get some?
Just call toll-free, 866-222-3017, or you can go to coffeeking.biz. Ask for a sample when you're there, or get set up as a preferred customer with a 25% discount. I did.
Okay, that's toll-free, 866-222-3017, or coffeeking.biz. I'll do it now. Thanks.
Back here, looks like we had a little bit of a problem here. We're not sure. Maybe Langley is having a problem. We need to help those people out there back east if they're trying to listen in or whatever they're doing there. But I'm not sure where we got lost there. But anyway, I just want to briefly summarize here before we get into the long segment in the next hour of the issues of Paris Hilton. This issue was decided back in 1792 because the sheriff acted as a court of errors over a judicial determination. And that's the real core of the whole thing. And that's malfeasance. He did an act that's unlawful outside of his authority, and he should be charged with same and lose his job. But, of course, they probably won't do that. They'll probably deal with the contempt side of it, if they even do that. And, of course, on the Hayburn issue, like I said, I'm not sure where we lost connection here, but it's important because under the CFRs, under the statutory authority of Congress, when some regulation comes out under the statutory authority of Congress, they're supposed to obey it. And it says right there that the IRS makes the determination of a taxpayer. Well, obviously you can't have a taxpayer, or you can't have a legal duty if you don't have two parties, and one of those two parties must be a taxpayer. And if the courts are prohibited from dealing with the subject of federal taxation and who a taxpayer is, then it's really hard to have a known legal duty, isn't it, if there's no legal duty? And it really makes it impossible for willfulness to knowingly and intentionally violate a known legal duty when there's no legal duty because there's no second party. And the courts can't even touch it. Article 3 courts. And that's just a real simple logic of what these guys of the IRS side, and that's a real simple logic of the issue of the what happened in Paris Hilton. But now let me get back to what I initially started with, because this all ties in, although I went around the mulberry bush. I tend to do that a lot. Interestingly enough, what Congress did, the first thing that they had to do, it's actually quite I have to give them credit. This is really a good scheme that Congress worked out. They were called radical Republicans back in that time, and I'm not sure if they're tied into the same Republican Party or how that all works, but they were known as radical Republicans. What they did is the first thing that they had to do was create a fiction. They had to make it so they could have brought the Negroes in with the act, which they did, Naturalization Act in 1870. And then they would have been exactly like, quote, the white citizens in all respects. No difference. Everybody would have had inalienable rights. But if they did that, Congress couldn't overthrow the whole government, because after the Civil War, they overthrew the executive, usurped it, they overthrew the judicial, and they took away the several states of all the South. They overthrew that. And they also took away the inalienable rights of the Negroes. They never granted the Negroes freedom. All they did was move them in 1866 under the Civil Rights Act. They moved them to be a statutory, fictitious citizenship. But these guys are really good, because the problem that they ran into is, what if today we found out what these guys are doing? We could make them change it, couldn't we? You better believe it. And that act, by the way, for people that want to get on the internet, was 14 Stat 27, that statute at large, volume 14, page 27. It's April 9th, 1866. So first we create the fiction for the Negroes. Now, of course, they've got more freedom than they had under the Southern plantation owners. But I've always wondered, too, what did President Johnson know, and why were especially the Southern states, why were they so adamant against the 14th Amendment? Now it seems quite simple, because anyone, especially any attorney or anybody, they used to be businessmen, understood that when you create a corporation and you go get a license to exist, quote, from the sovereign, to create a fiction, you then are controlled by the sovereign, can change the rules and regulations or change their charter or tax you or whatever they want. You are under their control. They can even legislate you out of existence. But you are under the control of the entity that gives you the permission to have a fictional status. That's called a corporation. And so they created this fictional status just for the Negroes initially. But they had grander plans, much grander plans. And they had to cover their tracks. This is what's so astounding, because they knew at some point the people in America, white, black, or whatever, would probably figure out what they had accomplished. And I'll tell you, then we'll get into the long segment, and we'll start to follow this through, and we'll be back on break here for the next long segment here in a couple minutes.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. because you can handle the truth.
Hi, Steve Shank, Fearless Task Force. The J. Michael Stevens Group is shipping a lot of storable food. It's smart that you're getting going at your food supplies. 1 week after the report came out that the world had eaten more food than it produced last year, the country turned into a deep freeze, wiping out a huge part of the new crop. An example? In 24 hours, clementine oranges doubled in price. If you intend to start or finish your supply, call immediately. When you call, tell them how many adults and how many years of food you need. When there are shortages, missing items will be substituted, maintaining the quantity of food necessary. Money is not the problem. Availability is. Be careful. When food supplies get short, with no future, many retailers ship real trash to supply you. For safe food you can trust, call 800-409-5633. On the web, efoodsdirect.com. 800-409-5633.
Are you paying exorbitant amounts of interest to your mortgage lender? We as Americans have been led down a path of paying excessive amounts of interest to the lending institutions. Stop paying tens of thousands of dollars in mortgage interest and start saving. Our financial experts have spent 2 years and about $2 million on a revolutionary interest reduction solution that will show you how to pay off 100% of your mortgage and other debt in as little as 8 to 11 years with no change to your current lifestyle or spending habits, no increase to your monthly mortgage payments, no refinancing, and no out-of-pocket expense. That's right. Take 19 to 22 years off your 30-year mortgage. This is not a bi-weekly payment program or a debt roll-down program. It's much more. Sound too good to be true? Find out just how good. Visit interestreductionsolutions.com or call 1-800-281-5094. That's 1-800-281-5094. Ask about our free DVD and financial analysis report.
With recent international flight from the dollar, it's confusing. How to protect your wealth against this invisible loss of purchasing power? Let the Republic Trading Group help you see through the fog and deception of the fiat money masters. The fact is, gold is and always has been the only insurance against the erosion of your wealth. So put the power of gold to work for you and rest assured your purchasing power is secure. Buy your gold from the most dependable and reputable dealer, Republic Trading Group. Call today 1-800-691-7898 and let Robbie Noel help you see through the fog. When you support the Republic Trading Group, you're also supporting Republic Broadcasting Network. So visit our new and improved website today, republictradinggroup.net, for daily news and information from around the world. Don't be confused. Call Republic Trading Group today, 1-800-691-7898, and lock in the power of gold.
Okay, this is Ralph back for the Ralph Wetterode Show after break. And continuing on here to the, this is just absolutely astounding. The information concerning how they have enslaved all of America, everybody, black, white, purple, whatever, yellow. They didn't free the slaves. All they did was move them over under Congress. But if we go to the Act of 14 Stat 27, Civil Rights Act, which is encoded, which was put into the Title 24 of the 1878 Revised Statutes, and that, by the way, was brought forward. All of the crimes, the Civil Rights Act, and the jurisdiction of the courts intact, and that's sitting in Title 42, 1988 of the United States Code, 1988. No changes. They brought the whole thing right after the Civil War forward, and the reason why they brought that forward is the interesting part. But let's go back to a case here that starts to let the cat out of the bag, and it's Bell versus the State of Maryland. It's a 1964 Supreme Court case, 378 U.S. 226. And I'm going to read you a quote here. The 14th Amendment was in part designed to provide a firm constitutional basis for the Civil Rights Act of 1866, 14 Stat 27. And to place that legislation beyond the power of congressional repeal. beyond the power of congressional repeal. And that is the game that they played, because they were having a problem. There were debates whether the Civil Rights Act was constitutional. And in this particular case, it gives the congressional globe areas, which I'm going to go look up and read, and it gives some books under the Reconstruction Acts. But they had, it goes on in this to say, a majority of the courts that considered the Act of 1866 had accepted its constitutionality. And they've got some lower court cases. They don't have any that had dealt with it as far as the Supreme Court. But the issue is that they had to put it into the 14th Amendment. So here's the real scam. We say we're going to free the Negroes. Of course, the Civil War wasn't over the emancipation of the Negroes. That was a part of it, absolutely. But it was not the essential element that got this whole thing started. They wanted to overthrow our constitutional republic, and you always need a good cover story after you get started. So they freed the Negroes, which absolutely, I mean, no man, I don't care what his color is, wants to be a slave. And no man has the right to enslave anybody else, but it's been going on. It's still going on in our world today, unfortunately. But so what they did is they freed the slaves and put them under Congress. They created a fictitious status called a citizen of the United States. And then to make sure, just like this Supreme Court case lets the cat out of the bag, they wanted to make it beyond the power of congressional repeal. So they forced everybody, which we know the 14th or amendment technically was never really passed, because they were holding a gun to the southern states that were brought in not on an equal footing with the original states. They were forced in with constitutions that were owed allegiance to Congress. That's right in the Virginia Constitution. And that the laws of Congress, not the laws of the United States, were the supreme law of the land. So they forced everybody to, so we put this into the 14th Amendment. So now then, it makes it extremely difficult once the people ever figure out what's going on. We'd have to repeal the, quote, 14th Amendment by three-fourths of the legislatures of the, quote, several states or the corporate states today. Well, that makes it almost impossible, especially with the ignorance and apathy that we have going on today. Now, they had another problem, because how did they deal with a fictitious status under the Article III courts? Because guess what? There's no authority under the judicial power of the United States, under the authority of the United States, under Article III in law and equity. It doesn't exist. So they waited till 1875. And we have something called the federal question. And they brought that along. They wanted to create this fiction. So in 1875, they had to create an act and change a couple of words. That's all they did. It's an 18 stat, 470, March 3rd, 1875. And that's the predecessor to 28 U.S.C. 1331, where they, quote, get civil jurisdiction, supposedly. That's all another ruse, and that's all another story. But the big issue is, what did they change out of the Judiciary Act of 1789 to pull this little scam? Because a fictitious citizenship, a fiction in law, was outside the scope of Congress to create, and it was outside the scope of Article III to adjudicate. So what did they do? This is good. I mean, I read this over, and I had to find a Supreme Court case before I could actually determine what the heck they'd actually accomplished. What they did in Section 11, and that's what's so astounding about this. You'll find some of the most astounding changes, because the authors and the people of the founding fathers of the Constitution, wrote the Constitution of the United States and some of the following acts to get our government started, a constitutional republic, were written so succinctly and with such knowledge and wisdom behind them that we aren't capable today, because we're not taught. It takes a lot of thought and work to understand when they change a couple of words, what did we just lose? We know obviously we know we lost something, or they wouldn't be changing it. Well, they took this little part under the jurisdiction of the circuit courts of the United States. Now, circuit courts of the United States were the first level court that had law and equity. They had both. Both. Just like Article 3, of course, in 1911, after they got the 1878 revised statute started, they created the parallel government under the appearance of law, called the prima facie evidence of law, with the revised statutes. And they're still sitting there unchanged today, unbelievably, since the Civil War. And the reason being is because they had put this citizen of the United States in the 14th Amendment, so they had to bring all the stuff forward to make it work. And it was all sitting in the judiciary until 1948, when they had done the complete total overthrow. Congress had gotten rid of all of the courts of law by then through legislation. And so then they moved it over into Title 42 in 1981 and 82 and 88. But what did they change? Well, you go back and look in Section 11 of 1789, and they took the words, or an alien is a party. An alien. So the first obvious question then becomes, what is an alien in that time frame? What did it mean? Now, in our constitutional republic, there's a definite, where there were the citizens of the several states, and we were the sovereigns, and we did a limited delegation of power. And there are issues where we could, in the federal courts, as a citizen of one state, sue a citizen of another state, those type of issues. There's nothing in there about a citizen of the United States. By the way, there's even a Supreme Court case that says a citizen of the United States has no standing to sue anybody else in the courts, federal courts. I may post that if I get around to it here. But what was an alien? And I'm reading out of, this is an 1833, it's a Bouvier's Law Dictionary that I found, an original, two books, in excellent condition. And what's an alien? Now, this is the same time frame. It says, is one born out of the jurisdiction of the United States who has not since been naturalized under their constitution and laws. So, an alien is somebody that's outside the jurisdiction of the United States and has not since been naturalized. That seems pretty fairly clear to me. What an alien is. Like, they're outside the jurisdiction of the United States. And he could sue and be sued under certain conditions on this thing, but there were aliens that were, it says here, friends or alien enemies, and only the alien friends have their rights enumerated to where they could sue and be sued in our federal courts. And, of course, an alien can never be a president of the United States if he's naturalized. So now we have an alien as somebody that's outside the jurisdiction, and he's not been naturalized. Now, what did they change this to be? Well, they had a slight problem, so they changed the words, an alien is a party. Now, this is in the courts of law. Two, foreign states, comma, citizens or subjects. They extended the Article 3 in law and equity judicial power to citizens or subjects of foreign states. Now, why would they have to do that? Because a citizen of the United States does not sit within the constitutional power of Congress. So this is where they got those, quote, citizens or subjects. So we got this word citizens of a foreign state. And this is where they clothed, quote, the Article 3 with the judicial power, supposedly, of the United States to deal with these citizens of the United States. And, of course, with that other case, and if you go look into Mitchum versus Foster, this is a 1972 case, 407 U.S. 225, it talks about this issue, and it tells you, this is the clue that I stumbled across, and I'm going to read a little bit out of this. It talks about here that Section 1983 was originally Section 1 of the Civil Rights Act of 1871, 17 Stat 13. It was modeled out of Section 2 of the Civil Rights Act of 1866, that's 14 Stat 27. And 1866 and 67 were banner years because they overthrew everything. I mean, it's just unbelievable. I could write probably 5,000 pages on it with the information that I have right now. It's quite lengthy, but anyway, and continuing on, it says, as a result of the new structure of law that emerged in the post-Civil War, a new structure of law in the post-Civil War era, and especially of the 14th Amendment, which was its centerpiece, the role of the federal government as a guarantor of basic federal rights against state power was clearly established. And they give a whole bunch of Supreme Court cases. But here's where they let the cat out of the bag again. In addition to proposing the 13th, 14th, and 15th Amendments, Congress from 1866 to 1875 enacted the following civil rights legislation, and they start with the one of 1866 and they go up through 1875. But then here's where the key is. In 1875, Congress also passed the General Federal Question Provision, giving federal courts the power to hear suits arising under Article 3, Section 2 of the Constitution. And this is the act that I just spoke about in 1875, 18 Stat 470. So there it is, all rolled up together. They had to figure out a way to allow these citizens of foreign states or subjects. Well, of course, in our constitutional republics, we don't have subjects. Not supposed to. We do not have subjects. We have, quote, citizens. But, of course, Congress wanted to expand the powers, and this is to cover the tracks, so they just made a few little simple word changes. And those word changes get us to where we are today, that they can go in here and rule, they think, on what's going on today in our constitutional republic. And what's even more astounding is that nobody has really, it doesn't look like that I've been able to find out, has brought this issue to bear yet. It's just absolutely astounding. When you take this and you see how far these people can take this thing, there is a case here. This is 2002 on the citizen or subject of a foreign state. They get involved with in a territory that's strictly under the power of England. Strictly under the power of England. And this is Chase Bank involving a loan down there, and they extend jurisdiction outside of the boundaries of the United States through this same thing. And what is astounding is what these guys, these Supreme Court, is stating in there. A citizen may imply, and in 1789 and 1875 may have implied the enjoyment of certain basic rights and privileges. May have? Can you believe this? And a subject is merely one who owes allegiance to a sovereign and is governed by the sovereign's laws. So the obvious question is, what is Article 3 doing with jurisdiction over even subjects of a foreign state. And they put these people under citizenship of the United States, and they're sitting totally outside anywhere of the continental United States, and they're under Britain. And then they go on to say members of a polity, of a government, under the authority of a sovereign, fail to qualify as subjects merely because they enjoy fewer rights than other members do. Isn't that nice? For the good or ill, many societies afford greater rights to some of its members than others without any suggestion that the less favored ones have ceased to be citizens or subjects. Although some persons, like resident aliens, may live within a foreign state without being treated under American law as members of that particular government. And we'll be back in a minute, and I'm going to explain that, because this is absolutely, this is 2001. These guys are telling us what they're doing, and it's unbelievable. So we'll be back in a minute after break.
All right, employees, listen up. Our group health insurance premium just went up again. In fact, it's doubled in the last 4 years, and now we've been forced to try something new. So we're increasing the annual deductible from $500 to $2,500. Okay, cut the moaning. The good news is you'll all still only have to pay your regular $500 deductible. The company is installing a new health reimbursement arrangement, or HRA plan, that will pay up to $2,000 in benefits only to those employees who have deductible expenses. This new HRA plan is saving us a lot of money.
Employers all over the country are discovering how to roll back insurance costs using Core Documents' HRA concept. Core Documents is the nation's primary source for affordable plan documents required by the IRS and Department of Labor for Section 125 and HRA plans. Use your insurance agent and let Core Documents help you with plan design. Do a Google search for Core Documents or see us at coredocuments.com. That's Core, C-O-R-E, documents, plural, .com.
Wow, that coffee smells really good.
Hey, it's terrific, and it's healthy.
Healthy coffee. How does it taste?
Well, since healthy coffee blends are pre-brewed from organic Arabica beans, they're delicious.
Gosh, I had no idea coffee could be healthy.
Yeah, this coffee boosts your immunity, has 165 antioxidants for all kinds of health benefits. Plus, it gives you energy without a lot of caffeine. And since you're a big coffee drinker, I thought, well, maybe you'd want to know about it.
It sounds great, but how much does it cost?
Well, not much at all, really. A whole lot less than we've been paying for ordinary coffee at the coffee shop.
Wow. I'd love to try it, and I bet everyone at the office would, too. Where do I get some?
Just call toll-free, 866-222-3017, or you can go to coffeeking.biz. Ask for a sample when you're there, or get set up as a preferred customer with a 25% discount. I did.
Okay, that's toll-free, 866-222-3017, or coffeeking.biz. I'll do it now. Thanks.
In Matthew 24, the disciples asked Jesus, "What shall be the signs of thy coming and the end of the world?" Jesus answered them, "You shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines, diseases, earthquakes in many places. Fellow Americans, we are living in this time of Earth's history. People everywhere are trying to understand these climatic world events in light of human wisdom, but without the wisdom of God, this is impossible. Our ministry would like to offer information on the Mark of the Beast and the Unholy Alliance. It includes four books and several DVDs for your information. It discusses America in prophecy, the Antichrist, tyrants and wars, secret societies, the New World Order, and much more. So to be prepared for what is coming on the world as an overwhelming surprise, call for your free materials, Packet F, 888-211-1715. Again, 888-211-1715.
Well, we're back from break with another short segment here. So now they have established, supposedly, by just changing a few things, taking out alien, which is somebody that's not naturalized over here, but gives somebody that owes allegiance to another foreign country status. So now we change it to citizens or subjects of a foreign state. And, of course, well, then obviously, what's a foreign state? Because when these guys start doing this, this statutory nonsense, well, you have to go into the Title 28, 1603. Well, a foreign state includes an agency or an instrumentality, and it means a separate legal person, corporate or otherwise. Two, which is an organ of a foreign state or political subdivision, or a majority of whose shares or other owner interest is owned by a foreign state or political subdivision, which is neither a citizen of a state of the United States, as defined, and they go back to blah, 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 created. And, of course, then you have to look at the next thing, which you always find in these guys. If people would just understand the thing as you go down into this, then they define the United States. Now, Congress has no authority to define the United States. The Supreme Court has defined it that there are three of them, and only one of them is under the Constitution with the several states. And this is a game you always see once you start to understand it. United States includes all territories, waters, continent or insular, subject to the jurisdiction of the United States. This is the same thing that you'll see in the geographical, territorial sense. You just look at the outside boundaries, and somehow this thing exists out there. And so we don't look at the jurisdiction of the several states where the, quote, United States has, Congress has no authority. Because, again, it gets back to this simple issue of it was concurrent jurisdiction and there was exclusive jurisdiction. There are areas where Congress does not have plenary power because in the territories they have plenary power. They and in the District of Columbia. They act as a state government and they act as a federal government. They want to call it national, but national was thrown out in the when they created the Constitution of the United States, because national, if you say national, it means there are no several states and we're not in charge. It's a federal government. But the states, the several states, have retained certain limited delegation of power. So, and you will always find, so this right here is the little scam that they played as they created the fiction after the Civil War, moved the Negroes into it. Then they put it into the 14th Amendment, which the Supreme Court, so that when we find out, or if we ever figured this out, it couldn't be undone. It makes it almost impossible to be undone. Of course, it's unconstitutional. And it's totally unconstitutional because you cannot create inalienable rights. It's not under the power of Congress. Our inalienable rights come from the Creator, and as soon as we surrender that birthright to Congress, we have given a full power of attorney to those, that den of vipers up there in Alaska. It's Senator Stevens and Lisa Murkowski, which her dad appointed her. Isn't that lovely? When he left up there to come back here to be governor of Alaska to try to get the pipeline through, he couldn't get it off, but he made her his own replacement. Anyway, we're going to go, we're at the top of the hour, so we'll be back next hour. And if anybody's got any questions, be sure and call in to Republic Broadcasting, 800-313-9443.